thank you very much for rejoining us on yet another episode of From the Horse's Mouth. I don't know how many there's been, lads, but they've all been golden. And I'm joined once again to look ahead to Royal Ascot Day 3. We're rattling through the week on ground that is indeed rattling. And today it's Ruby Walsh and Paddy Power who comes in to replace Matthew Chapman after his winner on the first day with Oxted. So, Paddy, you've got high boots to fill. He was giving you some stick, though, on Friday, wasn't he? He was getting to you.
Well, he can't have a conversation with anyone without sticking the boot in some manner or means, you know what I mean? So even I've heard him abusing Ruby, and I think it's an insecurity that Matt has. But like, you know, we're happy to say, ah, poor old Matt, that's grand. Should we give him a pat on the head and he'd be grand?
Poor old Matt. Ruby, quite enough week for you. You're usually front and center on basically all the TV channels, but you're enjoying Royal Ascot from home.
I am. Obviously, I am in the Racing TV stable, and Ascot is part of the Sky Sports stable. So, no work for me this week other than with you, PK. I'm doing a bit for ITV on Saturday, but other than that, very little.
Okay.
I'm actually enjoying watching sitting at home. Watching
it's nice, isn't it? It's a different pace, isn't it?
Most definitely is.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, look, we are all looking forward to getting back on the race courses for sure. Right, let's crack on, lads. Before I do, Virgin Media, for those here in Ireland, had a lovely show, a review of Royal Ascot Rides with Johnny Murta. Your good selves were on it. I believe it is available on YouTube as well. Just follow the @PaddyPower Twitter accounts and they'll put up a link to what was a... It's kind of like the thing you and Barry did, Ruby, wasn't it? Where you look back on previous winners. Is that right?
Yeah, it was. Myself and Paddy had, the pleasure. It was a pleasure, Paddy, wasn't it? With to sit down with Johnny Murta and go back through 10 rides of his at Ascot, majority of which won. He did pick out one that he felt got away as well. But it was interesting to listen to him, how he approached it, what way he rode the horses, why he made some of the decisions he made. I found it interesting anyway. But look, tactics fascinate me, and as I've said before, I can be guilty of paralysis from analysis.
Well, it was interesting, actually. It's a really good watch. And there's, you know, he picked out the races. Yeah. And as Ruby said, the one Soviet Song is the one he picked that got beat. And it's funny because he's really...
Which we'll focus on.
Yeah, but he was really hard on himself for that one. And Ruby was kind of going, hang on a second, look back to the race. The way Ruby analysed it was slightly different to how Johnny did. So I thought that was interesting. And just the two of them, like, because I know I've spoken to Ruby about Cheltenham and Aintree and all that kind of stuff before, and the two of them do kind of, maybe that's the part of being a champion jockey, is that they do kind of look at races the same way, and the pace and the position, all that kind of stuff is important. At this point, you need to be here and all that kind of thing. And I think that's really interesting stuff. But what Johnny Murta just tells the story really well. Like, he just really does. He's just a really, really good communicator. And it's just... Like he has you when he starts telling you about it. He has you, and he re-remembered them well. And the Aga Khan that day had two winners, it's really interesting. And you remember a load of the races yourself when you watch back. Oh yeah, that was like, that's obviously Yates winning the Gold Cup, and clearly the highlight is Soul Power winning the King's Stand. But there's a few other bits and pieces in there as you look and you go, geez, I remember that. And the way he describes the race and how it turned out, I think it's definitely worth a watch. It's worth a watch, definitely.
Do look out for it. It will be, just as I said, follow the @PaddyPower Twitter accounts. They'll be posting links to it, or just put in @PaddyPower Ascot on YouTube, and I'm sure it'll come up as well. I really should have a proper link prepared. I apologize to Mark Walsh for that, but I'm sure those of you who can get a podcast will find that show. Okay, lads, let's look ahead to day 3 at Royal Ascot. Tricky enough day, first day, I think it's fair to say, bar obviously Palace Piers' victory in the Queen Anne. We haven't got the luxury of knowing what's happened on day 2 at this stage, so we'll just assume all 7 favourites won and all your selections won. So we kick off, guys, with the Norfolk Stakes, the 230. And again, this poser of the Wes Ward 2-year-olds, Lucci or Lucky, is the one who at the time of recording is 4-1. Now, this could go off 9-4, 7-4. It could go off 10-1. That's what happened with Coffee Maker yesterday, or Coffee Maker. Catamosto for Aidan O'Brien is 9-2. Nakatomi, I'll be asking you what that reference is 13-2 again for Wes Ward. Oisin Murphy, Instinctive Move 8-1, 9-1 Go Bears Go, and Project Dante and 12-1 Bar. Ruby, your thoughts on the Norfolk?
I think it all depends on what happens with the thunderstorms, PK, and whether they land in Ascot or they don't. If they do land in Ascot, I'd say Catamosto, who's been an on-runner now maybe 5 times, is unlikely to line up. They won't chance him on slow ground. But if it is quick and he runs, he's a big runner, but he has to have fast ground. And if the thunderstorms do hit, I fancy Andreas Vesalius of Joseph O'Brien's. I thought he was really impressive on soft ground at Nace, improved from his first 2 runs, but he does handle it cutting it. And if we get the rain, you know he's going to go on the ground.
Okay, so keep an eye on the weather. Paddy, your thoughts?
a couple of US runners, like you said, they could be anything really. But with sprinters especially, I think experience is really important. And Rubens Andreas Vesalius has had 3 runs, which is obviously going to help because they learn every time they run, I think. And I think especially for these younger horses, like the whole occasion could get to them. So the one I like though is William Haggis, Second Wind. He's absolutely flying at the moment, the Haggis stable. Their percentages are off the charts, and it's a 12-1 shot, and he's 1-2. He's on a hat trick, and just with the yard flying, like each way, 12-1. Why not?
Do we know what Nakatomi is?
Nakatomi from? Tower? Is that from Die Hard? Is it?
Oh, very good, Paddy. Good man. I think it's Nakatomi Plaza, but I'll definitely I'll give you full credit for that one. Yeah, that's Die Hard 1. That's the building that he goes up.
The Christmas movie.
Oh, what a movie. You can't not just continue to watch it. Hans Gruber, unbelievable performance. We'll move on from the Norfolk and Die Hard references.
Pair and sad git. What's, oh my god.
How is that? Die Hard, one of the greatest films of all time. We're clearly cool, Ruby.
Here, Ruby, I just knew the name of the movie. I didn't go on and sped on like it's the best
of
the
lads. I'm sure there's loads of people listening. I mean, all of our listeners are going, PK's right, Die Hard's classic. You are allowed like movies, Ruby, you know, as well as horse racing. Our producer likes it.
Braveheart's a classic.
Braveheart.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a classic.
No,
but it's long. It is long. Like it's a commitment.
It really is. And you have to like Mel Gibson a bit, you know, which is always a tricky one too. Let's move on to the 305.
Would he not be one of your favorite races now?
What about Gladiator then?
Now, Gladiator, brilliant. Unbelievable. I think it's one of the only films I went to see, I think, 3 times at the cinema. And who does that? Like that
and
is.
You're comparing Die Hard to those 2 movies.
Ah, Ruby.
My God, like.
Come on. Die Hard. One of the greats. All right. Okay. This is all right. So for the next review podcast, it's not going to be about Royal Ascot or, you know, York or whatever. We're going to go through some classic movies.
Die Hard is fine, but like, come on.
Okay. We'll park this for now because I won't let it lie. We'll move to the Hampton Court Stakes, a Group 3 over a mile and a quarter. Which is interesting because we had a Lister race over a mile and a quarter, so pretty similar race earlier on in the Wolverton. But Mahafeth, who plenty thought was a Derby contender, but William Haggis pulled him out at the 11th there. He's at the time recording our 5-4 favourite, 3-3 this season. Moving Time for Roger Varian and Andre Etzeni, 9-2. One Ruler, arguably a bit disappointing this year, but 2 tough tasks for him so far, 11-2. Roman Empire for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. Nearly made all, didn't he, in the Dante at a big price. Snapper Terra for Joseph, a 10-1 shot, as is the Rastafarian at 16's bar. Mr. Power, you go first.
Yeah, it's maybe a lazy selection here, but I think Mahafeth looks like, you know, very, very good. Now, if the ground deteriorates dramatically, which I'm not sure it will by the second race time, maybe it will if the rains come in, it would temper my confidence. But on any sort of decent ground, I think Mahafeth is just very good. I think 1-2 looks absolutely ideal. Obviously, top of the ground is perfect. I think good ground would be fine as well. 5-4 is, you're not going to get rich, really. But I think Mahafeth's going to be very hard to beat.
Ruby?
Big difference between the Hampton Court and the Wolverton PK is the Hampton Court is for 3-year-olds only.
Ah, okay, fair enough.
The Wolverton is for older horses. That's why the 2 of them are there.
Okay, that's fair.
And I'm going to take on Mahafeth with Moving Time. I thought he was good in Newmarket when he beat Kamari. I think there's a 70%, 80% chance those thunderstorms will hit Ascot. I know thunderstorms can land anywhere, but listening to Chris Dickens this morning, he was pretty sure they were pretty pessimistic, really, that they were going to hit. And I think if they do hit, I think Moving Time will give Mahafeth a rest.
Okay. Moving Time, the one to watch out for, whilst Mahafeth for Paddy. Right, move on to the 340. This is the so-called Oaks of Royal Ascot. It's the Ribblesdale. Let's look at the market at the time of recording. Noonstar, I know a friend of the pod, our own Frank Hickey, is a big fan of her. She's 11-4 favourite. Divinely, she was a big mover, wasn't she, in the Oaks market? Arguably unlucky, probably would have got second, but she definitely wouldn't have beaten Snowfall. She's 4-1, 5-1. Ashada could be anything, 2-2. Gloria Mundy for Frankie and John and Thady Gosden is also 5-1, 8-1 Dubai Fountain and Twisted Reality, 16's bar. Ruby, you're first up for the Ribblesdale.
It's hard to split Ashada and Gloria Mundy. There was only a neck between them when they met at Newbury. So look at the draw here. That could be turned around, but will either of them get up to the form of Divinely and Noonstar? That's debatable. Noonstar, obviously, it all ties into Snowfall, but I thought Snowfall at Epsom was looked much better than she did at York. And I would agree with you, PK. I think Divinely was unlucky not to be a really good second. And actually, had she not got hampered for the first furlong and a half of the home straight in Epsom, she may well have bridged that 16 length gap between snowfall and the second. I think she probably would have shaved it down to snowfall winning by 8 or 9 lengths rather than 16. Yeah, but I, if you know what I mean, and that to me would show you how far Divinely could have been ahead of the rest. So I'm going to go for Divinely to beat Noonstar.
Okay, Paddy, your thoughts?
I'm taking a total flyer here. I'm going for 25-1 shot Annerville for Johnny Murta. And I just thought, you know, I think there's a small bit of question mark about some at the front end. Noonstar, I'm not totally convinced by, even though Frank is mad keen. Ashad and Gloria Mundy, as Ruby said, there's nothing between the two of them. Not sure exactly how good they are to be 5-1s. And I just think that, again, I'm kind of hoping the ground doesn't deteriorate too much. So it could be pear shaped. But it was an impressive Leopardstown maiden winner last time, and the second in that race has come out and won again. Albeit just won by a short head over a mile and a half rather than a mile and two. But anyway, we'll ignore the detail of it. But I think Annerville at 25-1. I know Johnny Murta wouldn't be sending it over for the crack. And so maybe she might just outrun her odds.
Did you mention it when you were recording the show for Virgin Media?
I don't think so.
That would have been nice. He said, yeah, he said this. Yeah. This is a great job. To be fair, putting one in the Ribblesdale, you'd hardly
know. To be fair.
I've laid one out for the Ribblesdale. Like,
here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, we'll move on to the feature of arguably the week. It is the Ascot Gold Cup. We did record an anti-post pod, seems like yesterday, but it was a good few days ago. And I'm casting my mind back, and I don't think there was a great amount of, maybe not love is the wrong word, but I don't think many people thought Stradivarius was a good bet. I think he was around 5-4 at the time. He's 5-6 at the time of recording. 11-2 Trushan for Alan King and Holly Doyle already in the winner's enclosure, Holly Doyle. 6-1 Subjectivist, then 11-1 Spanish Mission, 14 Santiago, 14 Serpent. That's two Derby winners, both at 14-1. Princess Zoe. Oh, 16-1. If those thunderstorms arrive, what price could she be? 20-1 Emperor of the Sun and 28 Spar Ruby. First up, the Ascot Gold Cup.
Yeah, look, Princess Zoe does need the rain, and she needs the rain clouds to park on top of Ascot pretty much from 5 o'clock this evening or Wednesday evening until race time on Thursday, to be honest with you. She's a very good filly. Obviously, her win and Longchamp in the...
Peter Cadran,
2.5 miles.
Yeah.
And she got up close home to catch Alcuin, who had made the running. Yeah, I'd love to see her winning for Tony Mullins, for Paddy Keogh, Joey Sheridan. It'd be a fairy tale result. I still just can't see it, no matter how much rain falls. And I could be wrong. Rain won't help Stradivarius. And as we discussed the other day, PK, I think there's plenty of love for Stradivarius and a huge amount of admiration for him. But we're looking for the winner of the race. And I just think, looking at him, he's a 4-year-old colt. It's his first run of the season. It's not a 7-year-old colt, sorry. Going for his fourth Ascot Gold Cup. Big, heavy colt without a prep run. Just, I don't know. He hasn't run since he beat Ocean Wind in April. I'd love to have seen him run a bit sooner. Just, it's hard to describe why. But colts, just, maybe he will go and do it. But I would take him on, and to be honest with you, maybe Santiago or even Serpentine, since they put him in, I wouldn't be surprised to see one or other of the 4-year-olds take him down.
So you're looking at Aidan O'Brien essentially to win the race. He's also got Aaron Levine as well.
No, I think he has to improve around Levine, to be honest with you. I would be going with the other two. Obviously, Emperor of the Sun has been well tipped up. Dunica Train's in, beat Search for a Song in Leopardstown a couple of weeks ago. But I just thought both Santiago and Serpentine, and Serpentine in particular, looked like he would have improved hugely for his run of the car.
And given the way the Aidan O'Brien horses have been baffling Ryan Moore, or you know whoever's deciding these, you know it's like putting the Aidan O'Brien horses together is not the stupidest thing in the world at this stage. It's almost like
it's not. But can I often was in that situation at Willie Mullins's. You're sitting there thinking, which one of these will I ride? And one doesn't stand out, and you know whichever one I ended up riding was going to be shorter purely because people thought that's the one he's picked, but it didn't necessarily mean that.
Yeah.
That you were on the right one. There's no way of knowing. And look, he's on Serpentine. Jamie's on Santiago. I don't know. I look at 14-1. They're both 14-1-ish time we're recording. Is there any hand back in the boat each way?
Yeah, well, that or we'll get on to Frank and we'll get a what odds Paddy from Ruby about Aidan O'Brien to train the winner of the Ascot Gold Cup. He's done it many times. Paddy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going on the proviso the same, that, you know, that Stradivarius can't be getting any better at age seven. And Ruby made the point on the Antipost pod that, you know, it's harder to for a seven-year-old colt, because I think because of test, I can't remember what he says, something about testosterone or something.
Testosterone,
it's hard for them to lose the weight, or to, they're just heavier. They're harder to get fit, basically. Like all of us as we get older, a little bit harder to get fit. So I'm going for a changing of the guard, as I probably said last year and the year before and the year before. But this year is going to be a changing of the guard, I think. And the four-year-old I'm going for is Emperor of the Sun. I just thought that at Leopardstown, that time he beat the Weld horse, just looked very, very good. And I think that the step up and trip, we don't know yet, but the step up and trip might just bring out a huge amount of improvement. And if it does, obviously that might be enough. And it's a huge price at 20-1 or 16-20-1. And I think Emperor of the Sun could definitely be involved.
All right, so Ruby dutching the two more fancied of the Aidan O'Brien pair, and Paddy going for Donegal O'Brien. So an O'Brien could go well in the Askagall Cup. We'll keep an eye on that price. We'll keep an eye on the rain, of course. Stradivarius spitting to join Yates as a four-time winner of the Askagall Cup. Incredible. Okay, Mithras is the 6-1 favourite for the Britannia, the 5 o'clock. That does seem pretty short when you consider how competitive this race is. But John and Davy Gosden can lay one out for these big handicaps. We've seen it before already this season with Hakiki. 15-2 air-to-air for Jamie Spencer. And George Bowie, a real up-and-coming trainer over in the UK. 8-1 for Radabarg. That one is on a winning streak, looking for four in a row. Horoscope for Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien. A very heavily raced, but not too many wins. 12-1. Royal Pleasure, 12-1. And 14-1 Council, 16-1 Summer Pito. This is going to be tough, gentlemen. The 5 o'clock. What do you fancy, Ruby Walsh?
I am on a bit of a flyer here, but I'm going to go with Siam Fox. And I'm going that way on draw. And I think it'll be vital, key, or a big advantage to be high. CM Fox is in 32, right under the stands rail. David Probert rides Richard Hannon. Bolted up last week at Doncaster over a mile. One before that at Nottingham. I know he's creeping up the weights, but I just thought right on this side, under the rails. I know Sylvester de Souza has gone for Arion Power, same owners, right over on the far side. In stall one, but I think the stalls on this side will be an advantage. So CM Fox for me each way.
Yeah, it'd be very hard to get off a horse trained by Sir Michael Stout that's won his last three starts for Sylvester. So, you know, even if he does think it's probably drawn worse, I mean, you know, you'd be called some names if you're like, yeah, I'm getting off the thing that's won three times, last three starts for Sir Michael.
Yeah, well, no, what did they win off that? 75, 81 and 90. It's up to 97 now.
97, yeah.
Whereas CM Fox went off 78, 87 and it's up to 92. So, yeah. I don't know. I think that obviously he feels that there's still plenty in the locker for on Sir Michael's horse. But Mark Crean rode it on his last start at Doncaster as well, and he claimed £5 off Arion Power. So the penalty from there is actually 5 plus 7 is £12. Be a big ask.
Paddy, the Britannia.
You know the way in Countdown, they lift up their paper and show you what they wrote down? I've actually tipped up Siam Fox as well.
No way. There's
I swear to God. Like, honestly, it's written here in my copious notes. And my reasoning is slightly different, but this is similar as well. Just because I think definitely gets the 1 mile well. And last time, I think it was last time, the time before, kind of hit the front, got headed, and then battled back again. So I think that's going to be important, because obviously this is going to be a million runners in this race. I agree about the draw. Being high is good. But I think just with all the runners here, you're going to have to be brave, and you could easily get, if you hit the front at all, you could easily get swamped. So you're going to have to be brave and keep battling. He's one that definitely does battle, and I think that's going to be important.
30 runners and the lads agree on Siam Fox.
What a certainty it must be at 18-1.
What a certainty it must be. Well, we haven't agreed a huge amount on the pod this week. That's interesting, of all the races to agree on a double figure price. Fascinating to see how Siam Fox goes in the Britannia. Another big handicap is at 5:35 is the King George V Stakes. Now, topping the handicap and indeed the market is Sir Lamorack, who for many was potentially a Derby horse, but didn't run in the race. He's 4-1, 6-1 First Light for Frankie and Jonathan Thady Gosden, 7-1 Nagano, and Siskani is 9-1 for Charlie Appy, William Buick on a four-timer. Surefire is also a winner last time out in the Judmont Silks, 9-1, 10-1 Sir William Bruce for Aidan O'Brien and Shamie Heffernan, 10-1, and 12-1 Surrey Gold, who, by the way, before you give your selections, Frankie has napped Surrey Gold in this race. He's a 12-1 shot at the time of recording. So, Paddy, you're first for the King George the V.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little bit lazy here, which should mean I go for Surrey Gold, because Frank's obviously got a reason for that now, but that's not what I'm doing. I'm going for Sir Lamorack. I just think, you know, I think this could have been the plan for a while, and I think it's just, you know, could be relatively straightforward enough. I mean, just might be just better than all these. You know, it's a horse, as you said, was once considered a Derby horse. He's won two in a row. This maybe is the type of easier race that Coolmore could think, we could definitely win that one. We'd definitely get one on the board for sure.
Ruby?
Yeah, look, he was chucked in Leopardstown. I think that's why he went there. Or won his handicap in Leopardstown off a rating of 85. Got £15 for it, up to a rating of 100. He's the obvious one, stall 11. In mile and a half races in Ascot, the higher you are, the better. Number-wise, just, I don't know why it is, but the low stalls 1 to 5 or 6 have a pretty poor record in mile and a half handicaps. But Sir Amarak would be the one to beat. Frank's giving you a tip in Surrey Gold. Am I going to try and waffle out an answer here? No. If Frank is fancying Surrey Gold at 12-1, I am going to listen and take that advice myself.
Oh, okay. All right. Ruby rowing in with Frank on Surrey Gold, Paddy on the Fav in Sir Lamorack. And I think I'm going to be with you, Paddy, on that one. Closing race on day 3 is the 6:10. Yes, we race till 6:10 now at Royal Ascot. Aldari is the favourite for this 7-furlong handicap. It's one of the newer races, the Buckingham Palace Stakes. Aldari 6-1 at the time of recording, 8-1 Boardman flying at the moment, won his last 3, 9-1 Lord Campari for, again, Roger Vernon, Andrea Etzeni, 11-1 Bedouin Story, Frankie Dettori inside Ben Soror and the Godolphin Colours. That'll bring back some memories for a few. Dania is 12-1. That's been an each-way mover. Blue Mist also 12-1, as is Persuasion, 14-1 and bigger the rest. Right, we have Ruby, you're first up for the final race on day 3.
Yeah, I fancied Esh Talab at Chester and Boardman absolutely trounced him. Esh Talab then won Epsom, won on Derby Day. I'd say a £6 rise mightn't be enough to stop Boardman.
Okay. Boardman for Ruby. Paddy?
Yeah, I just Boardman as well. Just has won on all types of ground and just looks very good and just much better than maybe this class. And I think Boardman, you know, the draw is maybe a slight concern, but Boardman was one I've been looking forward to all week, yeah.
Don't know if I'm more Richard Whiteley, Jeff Stelling, or Rachel Riley or
the other one, just so the people don't think myself and Paddy are in cahoots here. The other one I was given a chance to was Bielsa, has a much better draw on in 25. I think this pace is going to be with pace, but the track conditions might suit horses with a higher draw. And I thought Bielsa ran well behind Punchball Flyer at Haydock, Sylvester D'Souza by Kevin Ryan. I thought it was on pretty much on the right side of the track anyway.
And that is day 1 wrapped up. Only remains our time for our naps on day 1. And given neither of you fancy Stradivarius, the naps are going to be nice prices, because realistically, it's nice prices through the card. So, Paddy, what is your nap on day 3?
I'm going to nap Boardman in the last.
You're getting him ahead of Ruby, are you?
Yeah.
Boardman. No, you can have Boardman. Okay. I'm going to go with Moving Time in the second.
Moving Time in race number 2, the 3:05. And that is currently at the time of recording. You will get a very nice price. What, the 3:05, is it? Yeah. 9-2. So a reminder that Frank Hickey has napped up Surrey Gold. That's a 10-1. Sorry, 12-1 now on the drift. And I'm going to nap Sir Lamorack in the King George. He's 4-1 at the time of recording. And we could do with a winner or two from those naps, folks. All right. Thank you very much. We will be back for day 4. I hope you enjoy day 3. What kind of ground we get? God only knows, as the man says, but we will potentially see the first horse since Yates to win 4 Gold Cups in a row. But if the lads in the pot are right, perhaps we won't. Join us again tomorrow for a look ahead to day 4. Stay safe, stay well, and do check out that Johnny Murta feature, as I said, if you missed it on Virgin Media, do check out. It'll be on YouTube as well. Until next time, folks, take it easy.